morning, my friends. This is Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California, with my love, Hedia. How are you?
Hey there. I'm fantastic. Good morning.
I've got to remind you to make sure your mic is in front of you. I'm going to have to do that while you're talking earlier. you know, we've been talking about how at church the other day that, and I think there was a text even earlier or something like that. And that, after church, Hedia and I turned to each other and I had the same thought. And look at our shirts. We did not even tell each other what we were wearing today. And look at this. This is, I mean, this is just an example. This is constantly happening. I can't believe it. How are you this morning? You seem to be on fire this morning.
Yes, I'm just happy. And this, as you can see from my empty cabinets, the move is finally becoming real.
I was going to mention that.
Yes. And the weather is gorgeous and I'm healthy and everything's just beautiful. And I love you. And thanks.
I love you too. All right. So we're getting started with a devotional here, but go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. If you've not had a chance to do that yet, that's Apple Podcast. Excuse me. And it'll help us out if you just go there and hit 5 stars and then give a testimonial or a, not a testimonial, a review of how much you love God and how God is working through this devotional. That would be great. All right. So let's take down the frame. We'll bring up the devotional, get started right away. We're reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And for today, it's May 5th, Judgment of the Love of God. The reference is 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. The Christian servant must never forget that salvation is God's idea, not man's. Therefore, it has an unfathomable depth. Salvation is the great thought of God, not an experience. Experience is simply the door through which salvation comes into the conscious level of our life so that we are aware of what has taken place on a much deeper level. Never preach the experience. Preach the great thought of God behind the experience. When we preach, we are not simply proclaiming how people can be saved from hell and made moral and pure. We are conveying good news about God. In the teachings of Jesus Christ, the element of judgment is always brought out. It is the sign of the love of God. Never sympathize with someone who finds it difficult to get to God. God is not to blame. It is not for us to figure out the reason for the difficulty, but only to present the truth of God so that the Spirit of God will reveal what is wrong. The greatest test of the quality of our preaching is whether or not it brings everyone to judgment. When the truth is preached, the Spirit of God brings each person face to face with God Himself. If Jesus ever commanded us to do something that He was unable to equip us to accomplish, He would be a liar. And if we make our own inability to a stumbling block or an excuse not to be obedient, it means that we are telling God that there is something which He has not taken into account. Every element of our own self-reliance must be put to death by the power of God. The moment we recognize our complete weakness and our dependence upon Him will be the very moment that the Spirit of God will exhibit His power. Hedia, you seem to find this devotional particularly important, or it stands out to you. Why is that?
Oh, I don't even know where to begin. So, as many of the listeners know, I came out of Islam, and it was a mean and menacing God, and I was constantly afraid of wrath and punishment for the price of sin. And it was actually one of the things that I think was what made following Christ so attractive is the forgiveness of sin. But even the Jews, so I mean, Islam is a false religion, but even the Jews who was under the Old Testament of God had this looming over their head is the punishment for sin and God's wrath for disobedience. And I think this is going to be a beginning of a series in Oswald's, in the teachings, where he's telling us the good news about salvation is not just that you're saved from hell and you become moral and pure. It's the good news about God And the good news about God is that under the new covenant, he loved humanity so much that he sacrificed his son so that our sins are forgiven, so that we don't have this antagonistic relationship with God anymore. And that, so that to me was the most important line, is that really coming to terms with the fact that when things go wrong, it's not God. It is either a weakness in us that we are not drawing strength from the power of the Holy Spirit within us, or it's the enemy's attack. Because it says in this last line of the third paragraph, if Jesus ever commanded us to do something he was unable to equip us to accomplish, he'd be a liar. So, I mean, we need to really meditate on what that means, because when the Lord says, I will not leave you or forsake you, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And when Christ tells us all of the goodness that comes from following him, then when things go wrong, it's not God. There's something else that's happening that we need. Either he's taking us a better way that we just don't understand, or there's some kind of limitation within us that's not allowing us to see why this is better, or we're under attack from the enemy. But God does not, people under the new covenant is not hurting us. And to me, that's just revolutionary.
Yeah, I was just sharing with you that I at first was going to lie to myself and say that I no longer feel this way, that I don't think that from time to time God is punishing me. But I think it was just yesterday I probably had that thought, like, what can I do to get you to stop doing this to me? I'm trying so hard. Do you not see that? Why you keep punishing me for what maybe I did? I don't know. Maybe what I did that day earlier. I don't know. So it's very timely for me to get this message. I was raised a Catholic, and so I've shared the story that early on in my attempt to be a police officer, I had difficulty with the polygraphs, because no matter what I said, it said I was lying. And so finally one guy administering the polygraph, he stops everything and he says, "You don't happen to be Catholic, do you?" And I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because it says you're lying when you say your name. Is that not your name?" And I said, "No, it is." He goes, "You got to stop this, dude. You feel guilty about everything." Because I think I might have said Andy, and my real birth name is Andre. And so, and he goes, "Why would that say?" And I said, "Well, my name's not Andy, it's Andre." And he goes, "Okay, well, other than," he goes, "That's not what this polygraph is about." And so he goes, "I'm going to go away, close your eyes, calm down. Not everything, you know, is you need to feel guilty for." So it is that stuff that kind of gets carried on. It's kind of like in my core, I guess. How much of your 21 years in Islam is kind of still, are you still trying to shake? Does it still come up once in a while, or has the Lord helped you rid yourself of most of what you've pushed into you?
Occasionally it does come up, for sure. Hmm. But this particular point, because I was drawn to Christ in such a dramatic way, as I've mentioned before, that they told me, because I took my head cover off, that I was going to burn in hell, that when Christ offered me salvation, he destroyed that concept that God's punishing me. That came to me quite early on. And so, but I do get confused at what God's trying to show me. So I kind of sit back at a lot of things and like, okay, what's happening right now? Like, are you challenging me to grow? And maybe it's all of the above sometimes. Like, what are you trying to teach me? Patience and perseverance? Am I supposed to pivot right now? Do you want me to go a different direction? Like, I just start going through these questions in my mind about what the Lord is trying. And I pray like crazy. Like, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you walking me through? Help me understand. Oswald, we had some devotionals a couple of weeks back. There's like, you shouldn't even ask. You should just be like, okay. You know, like your ultimate surrender is like, you don't even ask what's happening, But I'm still at the stage where I'm like, Lord, can you just help me walk through this and understand what it is you're taking me through?
Right. So I tried my little ticker tape down there, but I'm still no comment. So I'm going to have to say it out loud. Can you guys comment and let us know that you're watching and what's going on? I understand that some people are driving when they watch us. So, or you're at work and you're secretly listening. But when you get a chance, if you wouldn't mind comment, just let us know where you're watching from and what it is that you think about this devotional. And if there are times where you think God is punishing you, just to make sure that we're not alone, that we've had that thought, that thought from time to time, or at least I did up until hopefully yesterday was my last time. I hope. I want to read. I was saving this because I wanted to do it with us live. But at the bottom of each one of these devotionals, there's something called Wisdom of Oswald or Oswald's Wisdom. I forget what it is, but I'm going to bring it up right now. And this one happens to be pretty timely for me. And it says, to those who have had no agony, Jesus says, I have nothing for you. Stand on your own feet. Square your own shoulders. I have come for the man who knows he has a bigger handful than he can cope with. Who knows there are forces he cannot touch. I will do everything for him if he will let me. Only let a man grant he needs it, and I will do it for him. Wow. God was just chastising me there for some weakness I had yesterday. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's certain things that just still kind of get me, and I gotta man up and stand on my own two feet and square my shoulders.
and square your shoulders and know what, though?
And know that God has prepared me for this moment.
And he is going to do it for you.
He's going to do it for me.
It's not, you're not manning up and squaring your shoulders and being like, I'm going to do this. He's going to do it.
Wow. Oh, I feel like such a fool now.
You have no problem being manly.
I wasn't very manly yesterday.
Yeah. No, it's just that we get in these modes of thinking that we are being punished. Or that this is something negative when the Lord never does anything negative. He may allow an attack of the enemy, but what is he trying to bring out? If everything is for our good, what is he trying to bring out in us? Is it a quality or is it a way of thinking that he wants to change? For you, maybe from what you've described, he wanted you to know that your opinions of him were still there. First and foremost, that blame that, no, you're trying to hurt me, remnants of that were still there. So once you address those, then you can move forward and think, okay, so I get it. You're never going to hurt me. You love me. You will always give me the strength to walk through it. So now how do we walk through it? What is the Lord going to do?
I don't know. I hope he does it fast. Because I'm a little tired of it all. Robert said he was busy thinking. That's why he wasn't commenting, which I get. Yeah. I get that because sometimes it takes me a few seconds to kind of get some of the stuff. And I'm so happy that I have Hedia along on this ride now because it allows me to kind of sit back while she teaches me something before it actually, gets through this gray matter that I got. Hello, Danielle. Nice to see that you're on.
Hi,
and I'm glad that you love the program. Can you read that?
When my illness prevents me from doing something I need to do, I sometimes ask the Lord, why are you making it so difficult?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is it him that's making it difficult?
You know, I was on yesterday. hold on. So sorry. I was on yesterday on after our show yesterday, I had a meeting with a couple that does a show on about strokes, about having a stroke. And the gentleman that's in, his name's Aaron, who's a co-host in this particular show, his speech has been affected by the stroke that he had. And sometimes it's very hard to understand him. But what I am thinking about right now is that he's using the stroke and the difficulty he has speaking to speak to other people. And it just like dawned on me. I just got the chills just thinking, yeah. I mean, again, it's like, you know, people that learn to paint with their feet when they lose their arms, right? Or what have you, is that it's only an obstacle if we allow it to continue to be an obstacle. Once we get past it, it becomes a strength. It becomes something that we can use to glorify him. And he's a Christian man and a believer in God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he's using his new voice to reach more people. And what it causes you to do, strangely enough, is to listen closer. Because now you have to hear every word that he's saying. Like, you have to actually listen to every word. Like with you, you speak so clearly, I can kind of just do other stuff. And, you know, I can be typing other stuff and putting stuff in. But it's so cool now that I think about it, is that you got to actually engage and participate in, you know, in the sense of listening to have that conversation with them, even though it's a one-way conversation.
That's amazing.
It was pretty cool. Go ahead and read that, please.
Hi, guys. Terry and I and the three furry boys are watching.
Wow. Don't you? I wonder if the dog, what the dogs are getting out of it. I wonder what they would have to say.
Well, I'd like to know what people think about this notion of, do you see salvation as this, the great love story of God, that he eliminated sin because the Israelites had demonstrated how difficult it was to live by the standards. And every day we walk and live life, we realize we can't maintain the perfect standards that God would have otherwise accepted for us. I mean, expected from us were it not for the blood of Christ. But what that really means, that God loved us so much that he gave us salvation so that we no longer have the wrath hanging over our head, in the sense that as long as we're in this loving covenant with him, then it's all about him drawing us closer to him to reveal his glory in us. I mean, it's very different than other religions, every other religion, even Judaism, which is part of the Bible.
Wow. Yeah. You were saying something earlier too about the Old Testament and then the New Testament. Did you already mention that, or was that just on our pre-show?
That's what I mentioned, is that the God's commandments and requirements of the Jews were extensive, debilitating. I mean, if you just read the instructions for building the tabernacle, it would make your head spin. I mean, I can't get through all of the colors of fabric that he required the priest to wear, like the designing of the robes. And I was like, this people get, they say like their eyes glaze over when they read these chapters. And I'm like, I know that God at least partially put this all there for us to be grateful for the fact that we don't have to do those things anymore. You know, like, it's just so mind numbing what they were obliged to do. Like, it makes me wonder why every Jew on the planet doesn't want to accept Christ. Because if you actually read the Old Testament and the things that God expects of you, and the Lord's like, I am the fulfillment of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ says, why would you not jump at that opportunity? So it's just, you know, for me, it's quite deep.
Yeah, especially when they were seeing the miracles. I was watching The Chosen with my son, with Kelly last night. I'm talking to the audience, not you, because you know who my son is. One of my sons is. But Kelly and I were watching The Chosen. I had him watch the episode with the fish in the net.
Yeah.
But, you know, based on what it is that you're saying about the Jews, is that they, you know, he was showing them miracles. You know, he was showing, he go, come in and watch what I'm doing. They were lowering people through a roof, you know, so that he could, you know, get them to walk, and people were observing it, and they were sharing what was going on. And yet they hated it. You know, they're fighting so badly, you know, to demonize him and to say that he's a false teacher. I mean, they just really hated what he was doing.
And so that was about interesting. Power. They were afraid to lose their clerical status. That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't want to lose their power. You know, if he brought a new religion and made everybody right with God through acceptance of him, then they lost their jobs.
Wow.
So,
we're kind of seeing that today, right? Yeah. They don't want the churches. You know, the churches are difficult to control. Exactly. When there's a higher power than them, we're seeing it. We're seeing it in action today.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're demonizing police officers and law and order and letting criminals out of prisons, this is exactly what's happening now. I posted on my Facebook page to a street preacher, a gentleman who's out in probably somewhere like San Francisco. There's a lot of rainbow flags, I guess, and a lot of stuff going on. And he's there preaching about there being a man and a woman. And people are coming up to him and screaming at him and saying that he's hateful and a horrible person, and that, you know, he needs to just go away. And I mean, he needs to die. I mean, just nasty, horrible stuff. And he's going, when did I ever, because they're saying he's threatening them. And he's going, what did I say that was threatening? I didn't say anything that was threatening. I'm just sitting here preaching the word of God, saying that he created a man and a woman. That's all I'm saying. I didn't say, he goes, it's a sin like any other sin. I go, you can do whatever you want. You can go rob a bank. You can be gay. You can do all these things. There's still sins. You can cuss. That's a sin. He goes, I'm just telling you what God said. You coming in my face, and this girl kept walking into his face and kind of like pushing him. And he's going, what you're doing right now is threatening. And you're saying me preaching the word of God is threatening. It's a pretty powerful message. It's a little nuts.
I went through that with my daughter's therapist. Oh. To a certain extent, that's exactly what she's saying. She's like, do you understand that what you're doing right now is hurtful? And I was like, what I'm doing is not hurtful. If you see the word of God as hurtful, that's not my problem. You know what I mean? But I cannot deviate from what God has commanded. I'm not saying it's just like any other sin. I was like, I told her, I said, imagine a child came home and said, you know what? I want to be a prostitute. What parent in their right mind would say, okay, what can I do? Buy you sexier clothes? I mean, I want to be a meth addict and be like, okay, how do I support your habit? If your kid is going down to the depths of hell, how are you as a parent supposed to help that process? You're supposed to throw him a rope, you know? And I always say, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I can't throw a rope into hell. And if you can't understand that, then there's something wrong with you, not something wrong with me. But they literally get upset that you are somehow cruel or attacking because you stand on the word of God, that there are two genders. That there are two genders. This is what I was arguing with a Christian therapist. That there are two genders.
Oh, that is wild.
I'm not even talking about birth control or something like slightly more nuanced. You know what I mean? I'm talking about my standing on the principle that there's only a man and a woman. That just blows my mind.
Wow. Paul says, this Jew accepted Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
So we have a former Muslim, a Catholic, and a Jew. Look at that. God is good.
We're living in an upside down world. You know what? I'm going to bring up that video since I brought it up. Here we go. It's kind of weird. I'm just going to play a few, just a couple seconds of it, but you at least immediately you'll see how offended or threatening this person feels that somebody just preaching the word of God, that it's threatening. It's kind of like Donald Trump saying peacefully and patriotically, let them know how you feel. Oh my gosh. It's an insurrection. What? Oh my God. But yeah, what Maxine Waters says, that's not apparently. All right, hold on. I have to do a lot of clicking here really quick. Like, give me just 1 second. Hold on. You can probably already hear. Oops. Hold on. So sorry. I'm clicking the wrong things. This is not as easy as it looks sometimes. Oh my gosh, come on. One more click. There we go. All right. So here we go. I'm going to mute our mics and then I'll bring up this video just to give you a little taste of what this is like.
Microphone and take your bullshit opinion somewhere else.
You hate my belief?
Oh, for crying out loud. You're a liar. I hate pointless.
How many people are going to run away today and spit their hate? And you should have Bible belief. Yeah, there is a church over there. And there's bedrooms, so you don't have to put your flag up in my face. There's bedrooms. Go to your bedroom. Why you have to put it up in my face? You're telling me to go to a church. I'm telling you to go to your bedroom.
You just called my religion S-H-I-T. What if I said LGBT is S-H-I-T? Get out of here. That's homophobic, isn't it? But someone calls my religion S-H-I-T. No, but that's okay.
Christ's forgiveness of
Christ's forgiveness.
Christ's forgiveness ministry.
Wait, don't be, okay, you're intruding my space.
You're intruding our space.
Look at this. Look at
you're
you.
You're intruding our
look at
space.
You. You're following me.
Yeah.
Hang on.
What do you want people to follow you?
Do you want to talk to me?
Yes.
Okay, what would you like to do? And don't be intimidating by coming up in my face like that.
I'm a woman?
No, you're intimidating because you're following me and you're kind of being a little bit angry. So are you going to calm down? Okay, what do you got to say?
Okay,
I'll hold it for you, but I'll let you speak.
Is that because you're a man and I don't have rights because I'm a woman? Because you seem that much of a...
Can I say that? Do you have a question?
Actually.
What's your question?
First of all, you are out here gay bashing people.
What did I gay bash? I didn't gay bash. What did I say? Tell me what I said. Quote me.
CTV will be on your ass.
Okay, why can't you quote me? You see, you came here so confident that you had something to say as a bully, harassing me, following me, but yet you have nothing to say at the end of the day. Come back and say what you had to say. Ask your question. I know about CTV. Okay, that's wonderful. But what do you have to say? You had nothing to say except run away.
You're not letting me speak.
I gave you the mic.
You keep interrupting me because you are so unconfident in yourself that you can't handle an adverse opinion. Number one, you want people to follow you out here with your Jesus talk because obviously you're trying to gain followers, correct? You're trying to influence people, you know, come into their hearts and their minds, but you're doing it very wrong, especially when you're trying to get around inadvertently, backhandedly, gay bashing people. What you're doing is passive aggressive, and that is not at all in the name of God or any prophet.
And she goes on, and that just continues. Like passive aggressive, preaching the word of God is passive aggressive.
I marvel at this because I literally don't understand why they don't see the hypocrisy in saying that we're brainwashed, we're bashing, we're mean. And when we turn around, they're like, but that's what you're doing back to me. They're like, no, we're not.
He goes on to have some really good points. What he's talking about, he goes, you guys put these flags everywhere. In every TV show, there has to be a gay couple. And we have to accept it. You know, they want men to compete with women in women's sports. I mean, you're forcing this on all of us. But if we simply preach the word of God and talk about what the Bible says about a man and a woman, suddenly we are the aggressors. And then we are invading your space. I said, but every time we turn something on, you can't watch. I mean, nobody watches the Academy Awards anymore. I guess it was on a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure when it was on. But everything that they say has to do, they have to force it down your throat. But if we bring up the fact that God said there's a man and a woman, then we are passive aggressive when we say that.
Yeah.
So crazy. Anyway. Amy Feltz is on. Hey, Amy. Nice to see you. I'm sorry I missed your message there earlier.
And hi, Debbie. I don't know Debbie.
Debbie is from the CBD world.
Nice.
And she's a fantastic person.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Debbie.
not just because she's in the CBD world, but that's where I know her from.
Very nice.
From my first company that I worked with. We didn't read 1 Peter, the whole thing says. 1 Peter 4:17, which is the reference of this devotional, says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? What is that? What is the end?
No, if the righteous one is scarce.
What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Hell?
Yes, of course. You know, and so this actually, the whole passage, I pulled it up, is suffering for God's glory.
Mm.
So he's basically saying whatever suffering you endure for the gospel of Christ is nothing compared to the suffering that those could suffer in hell. And what you're doing is to prevent, even if you prevent one person from suffering eternal hell and damnation, your suffering was worth it.
And what that street preacher is doing passive aggressively is trying to help them, right? Is trying to say, listen, this is all I'm trying to do. You can continue doing what you want to do. It's actually, the whole video is actually pretty good. He goes, you can continue to do that stuff. That's not what I'm here to say. I'm just here to give you a message and you can choose one way or another. And if you follow what he says, then, you know, you'll experience everlasting life in heaven, as opposed to what the alternative is. That's all. Right. Exactly. You can go rob a bank and live the rest of your life in prison. You can do that.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, it's probably not a good idea to rob a bank.
Yeah. And that's the thing we're telling people, is that, like, we're here to give you an option to understand the love, the extraordinary love that God had, that he looked at humanity and said, you guys are never going to get this right. You are never going to get this right. So I'm going to come down wrapped in flesh, send my son, and he's going to save you once and for all from your pitiful selves. And all you got to do is love him. And we get angry at that. We get angry. I mean, look at Adam and Eve, right? They were living in paradise and they had everything. Just don't touch that one tree. And they're like, but the fruit looks really good on that. Yeah. I don't know. I got to try it. So it's just our nature that God gives us this ultimate, priceless, eternal gift. And we're like, nope, you're aggressive. I don't want it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you, but I'm not going to change. No matter how much you try to bully me, I'm not going to change what I know to be true.
Mm. I love that. And I'm glad, because our life is so much better. I mean, the good thing that we have is the knowledge of who we used to be and who we are now. Like, it's such a distinct difference.
Exactly.
Even though I fail from time to time, yesterday I had a little bit of a failure. Willing to acknowledge. So something happened yesterday and I just said it affected me and it ruined me for the rest of the day. And it gave me like a pretty bad bellyache because of the you guys know what I'm talking about. When you get stressed out about something, it gives you a stomachache. And I have to acknowledge that these are choices. Like, I had the choice, and I chose wrong. But still, the thing that brings me out of it is the what I know to be true, because I have it. It's you are sitting here in front of me is the truth of how things could be different, and I know how things used to be, and that is fantastic. It is amazing. It is spectacular, and I appreciate you being in my life. It is amazing.
Oh, I appreciate you.
You know what I also like? I liked also, you know, it would be one thing if all this happened after I met you. Like, that'd be one thing. It would still be great. But I love is that it isn't just because of you. It was God preparing me for you.
Oh,
and preparing me for us.
Yes.
That's what makes it even better. I mean, I can't tell you enough how grateful I am to God for the preparation for where we are now and where we're going to be. It's truly spectacular.
Me too. I mean, as soon as we went into lockdown and I was stuck at home all day and every opportunity I had to try to escape was taken from me. And the Lord's like, you've got to learn. You've got to learn to stop. You've got to learn to be patient. You've got to learn to be still. Mm. And That's what being a mom is all about, right? Like just the patience, the love, the tenacity, the resilience, the
Susie Homemaker.
A Susie Homemaker.
You were floating around the kitchen the other day. Did I say that? I mean, you were floating around. You got the stuff in the cabinets and in the kitchen and the refrigerator and the freezer. Stuff was going in the trash can, and you were just like superwoman in the kitchen the other day. It was spectacular.
Thank you.
I want to read this one more time. I'm not sure why I'm being asked to read this one more time, but I feel like I'm being told to read this one more time. And that's the wisdom from Oswald. So let me read this. It keeps coming back to me to read it again. To those who have had no agony, Jesus says, I have nothing for you. Stand on your own feet, square your own shoulders. I have come for the man who knows he has a bigger handful than he can cope with, who knows there are forces he cannot touch. I will do everything for him if he will let me. Only let a man grant he needs it, and I will do it for him.
See, I will do everything for him if he will let me.
Mm. God, that is some good stuff right there. I think I may have to use that in a post or something and upset some people.
Well, and I mean, I think that I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's what the full armor of God, the Ephesians 6, it is about putting on the armor and stand your ground. The passage actually says to stand 6 times. So our job is not to defeat the enemy, but it's to stand our ground and allow the power of Christ to move. And it's just the unmovable, unshakable foundation of Christ that just allows us to stand despite whatever is happening so that he can move through us or keep us balanced. It's not about us doing it in our own strength. It's not about us defeating the enemy. He defeats the enemy. The battle is the Lord's. And I think that's what Oswald's reminding us.
So cool. So cool. And Debbie's loving the show.
Thank you, Debbie.
I love that. All right. Anything else, my love?
That's it. It's a beautiful start to the day. Thank you, everyone. And Danielle, if you're still on, I expect to see you this evening, I hope.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yes. She's going to come over and label boxes with me. And
awesome. Take pictures.
Yes.
All right. All right, my friends. We love you.
We love you. God bless. Have a beautiful day.
God bless.